Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World, Hotel Mars. David Livingston, my colleague and co-host and co-pilot, is here. I'm John Batchelor, and we're visiting with two astronomers from MIT, Julian DeWitt and Benjamin Rackham. And we're studying TRAPPIST-1, an ultra-cool dwarf a little more than 40 light-years away, a mere hop for the Enterprise. And what we're looking at now are seven planets, like the seven dwarves, A, B, C, D, E, F, G. B and C have had their own paper, but all seven of them are important to look for. And what are we looking for? David, your turn.
Do each of you have a favorite of the seven planets that you like to study and why?
Julian?
Wow, that's a really good question. Can I escape it by saying that we really need each of them to help understand the other, or you want me to go down with one? Because if you want me to go down with one, I'm probably going to be placing a safe bet and going for F.
Why F? Why F?
I was hoping to avoid that follow-up question.
Well, you know, there's sleepy, there's dopey, there's doc, you know, why F?
Good point. I'm trying to stay within the habitable zone while moving as far as possible from the star, basically, because right now it seems like B and C, which are outside of the habitable zone, close to the star, may have lost their atmosphere over time, being eroded by the effect of stellar activity. And so the further away you go, the colder the planet, the easier it is for a planet to be shielded from the effect of stellar activity, and the easier it is for the planet to hold on to its atmosphere. And so that's probably why F and G might be interesting in that context. But all of them are, and as we'll talk about in a bit, B and C, which may not have an atmosphere, are key because we get to study their atmosphere, their surface property, if they don't have such atmosphere. And also, and most importantly, we can use them to play a trick when we do data analysis to actually correct for the effect of stellar contamination and then enable the study of the other planets. So it's really a family, and each member has a role to play in our exploration.
Oh, you're a good parent, Julian. No favorites. Benjamin, who's your favorite, but don't you'll admit to?
Well, I would go with F as well. I think Julian and I are thinking a lot along the same lines. And, you know, just to add a bit, I wanted to just explain why all seven of them are important. And that is really boils down to the fact that astronomers like us don't get to make experiments. You know, chemists, all other types of scientists can go into a lab and they can control everything precisely and measure things out and change one variable and see what the impact is. But astronomers are just stuck with what we can find in the sky. And so, you know, a lot of the issues that come up when we're trying to study the great diversity of exoplanets that are out there is like, why is this that way? Why is this planet so close to its star? Why does this planet seem to be inflated? Why does this planet seem to be hotter than we would expect? And often there's too many confounding variables to sort it out. But in the TRAPPIST-1 system, we have seven planets that are almost exactly the same size, that have had the same history orbiting the same star for billions of years. And so we can do this comparative exoplanetology that we've always dreamt about. We can think of experiments of what would happen if you took an Earth-sized planet and moved it closer to the sun than Earth is, or what would happen if you took an Earth-sized planet and moved it further away from the sun. And in the TRAPPIST-1 system, if we just study all seven of them together, we can start to answer those kind of questions.
The atmospheres themselves, if they have an atmosphere, and B and C do not, so they're controlled. If they have an atmosphere, what are we looking for in the atmosphere? What needs to be there for us to say eureka? What are we expecting? Julian?
Oh, Thank you for asking that question. What are we expecting is a good question. I would say we are expecting first and foremost an atmosphere not too far away, if there is an atmosphere, from what we see on Venus. Like the dominant perspective on what type of atmosphere can terrestrial planet form is something like Venus. So dominated by carbon dioxide. It's also what we find on Mars. And by the way, it's also what Earth would have if we didn't have ocean and water cycle to wash that out of the atmosphere. So if those planets are not harboring liquid water or any other volatile that can help remove the carbon dioxide from the atmosphere, that would primarily have carbon dioxide. Two other options, primarily, right? There would be many other compounds. Two other options would be nitrogen, just like Earth. If carbon dioxide is removed, nitrogen tend to be the second dominant species, so it would be the first one if CO2 is removed. Or dominated by oxygen is another option amongst many, but these are the three that we could talk about.
David, you have a question.
Given those descriptions, I guess it would be really rare to find human or some kind of life biosignal based on life as we know it. So could there be life as we don't know it that you could discover in the TRAPPIST system?
Benjamin?
Yeah, there's been a whole slew of research in our community looking at potential biosignatures, starting from life as we know it. You know, if Earth were out there in the galaxy, what would we look for to identify it? To what other kind of ideas can we think of that we might point towards life? There's a good argument that life, no matter how we find it, would have some sort of basis with carbon. Carbon is a very interesting atom, can form really complicated, unique molecules that we give a whole classification organic molecules because all of the strange and interesting things carbon can do. But it's possible that the biology doesn't exactly work the same way as ours, and so maybe ozone or oxygen isn't as such a good biosignature as it is on Earth. But in general, what people would look for is some sort of disequilibrium, some combination of molecules that are present that we don't think should be present if we allowed them to interact without any sort of thing producing more of them, or some molecule that's missing that we would expect to be there.
Julian, how did the seven doors get stacked up so Cinderella can go bang, bang, bang on their heads? How did Snow White? Why are they there so close in? I understand from one of the papers they've migrated. What does that mean?
Again, fantastic question. So one of the preferred path forward with this is that when a star is born, it's actually born within what we call a molecular cloud that collapses. And at the center, the star forms, fusion can start. And on its outskirt, we have a planetary disk. Right? And as the stars start burning its fuel, starts shining, it progressively clear out the disk in its vicinity and then further and further and further away. So what we think is that within that disk, planet formed, and they were interacting gravitationally, so they were tugging at each other as they were rotating around the star. But as the disk cleared, the disk allowed for enough friction for the planet to lock into resonances. And so that resonances, which is difficult to get to, was enabled by the presence of the disk. And each of the planet locked with the previous one progressively as the disk was fading away. And as they locked and the disk fade away, they managed to drift closer to their star. And by the time the disk was cleared out, they were just close to their star and set in a resonance that can last for billions and billions of years. Right? We believe that the TRAPPIST-1 system is twice as old as our sun, which is really important because it also means that if any of these planetary systems are habitable or inhabited, they could outlive any planetary system and civilization around sun-like star, which don't live for as long.
They move towards the sun. Are they still moving?
They're stabilized now. They stabilize each other.
And that's a good thing. And Benjamin, a question because I skipped it. What does it mean, habitable zone? What are you looking for?
So if you're too close to your star, it's too hot for water to form on the surface of a planet. any water that's there will be evaporated and eventually lost through the upper atmosphere. And if you're too far away from your star, you do the same experiment by taking Earth and moving it in and moving it out. If you took Earth and moved it out in our solar system, eventually all of the water would freeze. We wouldn't be able to have plate tectonics or sort of any exchange with the atmosphere. And then it would be a hard sell for life. Not saying it's impossible. There are water-rich worlds in our outer solar system, the moons of the gas giants, that might have liquid oceans that are conducive to life. But for Earth-like life, where we have all this abundant life on the surface, it would be a hard sell. So the boundaries between where you could expect liquid water to be surface on the surface of a planet is what we call, in short, the habitable zone.
Habitable zone. And some of these seven are in the habitable zone. David, you have a quick question.
Are you expecting to find another TRAPPIST-1 system where our technology will allow us to study? And if not, what other kind of system would you want to find that would be exciting to study given the constraints of our technology today?
Julian?
Yeah, it's great questions. Wow. It's really a pleasure to talk with you guys. So to answer your question about other TRAPPIST-1-like system, TRAPPIST-1 was found with a prototype telescope called TRAPPIST in honor to the Belgian monk that produced the TRAPPIST beer. And we only searched for planetary systems around 50 ultra-cool dwarf stars before we made that discovery. And after that was a success, we moved on to another project, the parent project to TRAPPIST, which is called Speculoos, in honor this time to Belgian cookies, Speculoos cookies. And their goal is to search for planetary system like TRAPPIST-1 around 1,000 ultra-cool dwarf stars. So we do expect a handful more systems to come through that. They may not be as good as TRAPPIST-1, but they'll be great for the James Webb Space Telescope for sure. And they might be slightly better, by the way. So that's an answer to the first part of your question. For the other part of the question, another configuration where we might be able to access Earth-sized planets will be, again, around very small stars, but this time on the other side of the life span, which is the white dwarf, right? White dwarf also extremely tiny. And so if we were to find an Earth-sized planet around white dwarf, that could be the remnant of a planetary system after the death of the main star, and the core turning into the white dwarf would be small enough and bright enough to still allow us to do everything we're talking about. So that would be another exciting configuration. And to the best of my knowledge, we've not found Earth-sized planet around white dwarf yet.
This suggests, of course, we must move on to the unlimited budget question, because we can look for that white dwarf with an unlimited budget. But I'm not holding you to it. I'm just mentioning all the money in the universe to search for a white dwarf. Julian DeWitt and Benjamin Rackham of MIT, astronomers, and we've been spending time with TRAPPIST-1, 40 light years out. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show. We're going to turn to a wish list. We're going to give each of these distinguished gentlemen an unlimited budget. What is it they want to achieve, either in TRAPPIST-1 or in the search for something unusual?
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.